thank you for joining us. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And our goal is to be a blessing. And one of the ways that we do that is by bringing this radio program to Brevard County, Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on WMIE, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. We also have church services on Sunday morning, 9:30 of a morning, Sunday school, 10:30 is a worship service. This week is, it's really kind of an exciting time for us. It will be our first missionary, our first guest speaker that we have had since February. And he's going to be coming and sharing what God has been doing in their ministry in Palau. And so we are very, very excited about what God has been doing. He's been back here in the States for quite some time now, and a number of services were canceled. We've canceled several. We normally have our missionaries on Sunday night, but this one's going to be on Sunday morning, 10:30 of a morning, and we'd like to hear you or invite you to come out and hear what God is doing, reaching the lost in Palau and touching children's lives. It's really an exciting thing that is going on there. And so that's going to be this Sunday morning at 10:30. We also want to invite you out to our church 6:30 on Sunday night. There is no preaching. There is no praise and worship. It's simply us humbling ourselves, praying, and seeking the face of God. That's what we're doing. We need God individually. We need God in our families. We need God in our community. We need God in our church. And we most certainly need God to move mightily in our country and around the globe. So if you have a heart to pray, we'll make prayer or make altars out of our chairs. And we have altars in our church, and we got room. I'll be walking and praying. That's what I prefer to do, simply because I am able to focus better walking on what I'm praying than I am kneeling and just staying in a stationary place. It helps me to focus. So, that will be coming up this Sunday night, and we would love to have you, come and be a part of that. I realize that I'm not going to get to tell my 10-4 good buddy joke this year because the radio program October the 4th is on a Sunday and not on a Monday through Friday. So I'll just have to tell you about that joke today. So pray that everything goes well in October, November, December, and that the kingdom of God expands in Brevard County. Amen. I want to take you today to Romans chapter 10. We are still talking about Matthew 6:32, about all of the things that Gentiles seek after. And like I've told you before, that word for seek means to search intensively for, demand, or to crave, to treat something as a need or a necessity that may or may not be a need or necessity. So let's look at what we're going to find in chapter 10 of Romans, verse number 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, I want to address this and tell you that this epistle is written by Paul. It's commissioned by Paul. Paul was a Jewish Pharisee. He was very zealous in his beliefs and in his pursuits. persecuted the church. And so this statement is made not by a person with hostility towards a people group, but out of compassion. It begins with Paul saying compassion and understanding. He knew the way that they thought because he was more zealous than any of his peers in what he was pursuing. And he says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." So I would encourage you that you join Paul in praying for Israel that they may be saved. I think that it is perfectly fine, well, and acceptable for us to come into agreement with the Word of God, not because we have hostility, not because we're trying to insult. We want all men everywhere to come to faith in Jesus Christ, not because they are living under terroristic threats or anything like that, but because we want them to come to everlasting life. And so now I want to take this principle and apply it to our group, to our segment of society. And that is, I believe that as believers, our heart's desire and prayer to God should be that the people that we identify with come to salvation, that they might be saved, come to faith, that they might be saved. And so I want shoe salesmen to be saved because I've been a shoe salesman. I want people who are pipe fitters and pipe cutters and pipe threaders to be saved because I've done that job. I want newspaper people to be saved because I've done that job. I want teachers to be saved because I've done that job. I want people from Oklahoma to be saved because I've grew up there. I want people from Texas to be saved because, well, let's just face it, they're Texas and they need to be saved. I'm just kidding. Texas is a suburb of Oklahoma, in my opinion. My wife is from Chicago. I want those people to be saved. Our son was born in Texas. I want those people to be saved. I want the people from Brevard County to be saved. We need to have God create a heart desire in us that says, let's see the people that we identify with to be saved. Now you've got to understand, Paul was a Jewish believer, but he was the apostle to the Gentiles. It wasn't an exclusive thing. He's not saying, I only want the Jewish people to be saved. He wasn't saying, I only want the Gentile. He was, I want all men everywhere to be saved, that they can be able to lift up holy hands to the Lord. Paul goes on and he says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Now you have to remember Paul's conversion when he was still Saul. He had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he says these words, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, if you had asked him to quote scriptures, he could do that for you. He knew the scriptures. What he didn't know was that Jesus had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And so it always helps us to retain this concept that just because we know something doesn't mean that we know everything. I don't know everything. There's a whole lot of stuff that I don't understand. But we need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to go back to 2 Peter, I believe it is. I'm going to turn back there just a moment. 2 Peter. Let's see. No, I might not be finding the verse that I'm looking for right now. We are supposed to be growing in the knowledge of God, and I'll have to go back and bring that verse up at another time. We're supposed to be growing in the knowledge of God. We're never supposed to reach a level that we say, whoops, we've arrived. You know, I remember someone asked a question when I was in chemistry class in high school, and our chemistry teacher of that day, he was a lot of fun. He made learning fun. He wouldn't be able to teach in modern times the way that he did then, because students are just a completely different breed now than they were when I was in school. And so they're too fragile. For instance, this teacher had a collection of sayings that his students had made through the years, and he had no problem making fun of them and teasing them, but everybody loved him. And so he called this book, this notebook that he had, his Book of Dummerays. And it says, what is a half a drop of water called? And and he said, a drop. There was another one, and said, well, how do I know what I don't know? And he said, look, the more you know, the more you know that you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. You and I, we need to have this adventurous mindset when it comes to our journey of faith, that this infinite God that loves us and dwells inside of us is a God who wants us exploring that relationship with him and not coming to that place and say, you know what, I know everything there is to know. When a person told me, you can't teach me anything else, I said, you know what? When a person has arrived at that level, that there's not anything else that they can learn, they are not long for worshiping here. And they weren't. They moved on shortly thereafter. And if you get to a place in your relationship with God where you think you know everything there is to know, then you are probably not going to be enamored with your relationship with God for too much longer. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So what we are talking about now are people who have some awareness about God, but they've rejected the revelation of God. And Paul says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they are ignorant of God's righteousness. Ignorant means they simply don't know God's righteousness. And it says this, that they seek to establish their own righteousness. And there is where the conflict really, really lies. All religion is seeking to establish a righteousness that is based upon your work, your actions, what you do. It is all based upon you, and you do something in some manner appease a hostile God, and you rise to a level above all of your peers, and he says, okay, you are righteous. That is not the case. Every person that you know has sinned. Every person has a sin nature that, until they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, controls them, dominates them, influences them involuntarily. They're servants of unrighteousness. Their bodies are instruments of unrighteousness. when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. Our right standing before God is not based upon what we do. It is based upon who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Our right standing before God is based on our relationship with him. Now, all of a sudden, that has just thrown a monkey wrench into every person who is trying to earn their way to heaven. You know, there are all sorts of things that people do to try and show God, God, this is how much I love you. I've read stories, seen articles about people who would literally nail themselves to a cross to try and show God how much they love them. You know what? None of that establishes your righteousness before God. Jesus is your righteousness. Okay? Now, because Jesus is the standard, you're not my standard. I'm not your standard. An unbeliever is not my standard. So I can't say I'm righteous because I'm not as bad as you or you're not as bad as me. That doesn't do anything. That is measuring by a faulty standard. And so if you've ever tried to measure with a faulty ruler, you end up getting a project that doesn't look exactly the way it was supposed to because you measured it with the wrong tool. A lot of people feel really good about themselves because either A, it is the mindset of the masses, or B, they look and they see people who are worse than they are. That's why you find people always trying to put other people down, is because they are looking to what the scripture says here, seeking to establish their own righteousness. So here's the thing. Righteousness was established by God, not by man, not by you. When I read this passage as I was preparing for this radio program, I was like, this is very much like the Tower of Babel, where God had something in mind for them to do, and they wanted to build a city, to build a name for themselves. They wanted to do exactly the opposite of what God wanted them to do. And so you've got an entire world system with all sorts of different facades, but everything is designed for this purpose, to set aside the righteousness of God and seek to establish a righteousness that they are happy with. That's an entirely different thing. Okay? They seek to establish their own righteousness. Now, here's what I will say that I think about anybody who seeks to establish a standard different than God's, is it's going to be very favorable towards you, and it's going to be very disfavorable to someone else. It's going, you know, I could tell you about people that once they were rejected, they moved from a merciful to a very legalistic standard. Okay? I'm thankful for the righteousness of God, that the reason that all of us can stand before the Heavenly Father is because our sins have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and he is the Lord of our life. That means he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake, not ours. So, and it says, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. God, I just don't want to do that. Jesus said something to Peter, and Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Those statements do not go together. Now, I will tell you, heaven is God's. It belongs to him. It was established by him. When it says that there is no sin in heaven, that there's no stealing in heaven, there's no death in heaven. All of that is because God has constructed that according to the parameters of righteousness and holiness. There are a lot of people who want to establish their own righteousness and say, well, you don't have to believe in Jesus. Everybody that's alive is going to go to heaven. And that sounds very good. It sounds pleasant. It sounds not offensive. It sounds like something everybody would embrace because it removes from us the responsibility of saying yes to doing life God's way. People treat heaven nowadays like everything else, like it is owed to them for who they are. Well, the thing that is owed to me, the wages of my sin, was to be separated from God for all of eternity. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What gift did he give us? He gave us the gift of faith. He gave us the gift of salvation. He gave us grace to be saved through faith. He gave us eternal life with him because he is righteous. So these people want to set aside God's standard, institute a standard of their own, and demand that everyone follow it. You think that living under God is difficult? I want to challenge you. Go to some places in the world where countries have literally excommunicated God from their government and see what kind of choices they give to their citizens. It is not a standard of love, grace, and mercy. It is a standard of fear and subservience and being dominated, being impoverished by the people. Listen, there's one particular situation that I know of right now where a country is denouncing America for the things that we say and talk about. That's you shouldn't be talking like that. You know, we have the right to freely denounce you, but yet a person in that country made a derogatory declaration about the ruler, and they sentenced him to decades in prison for using the quote-unquote free speech. Completely different standard, and it is not a righteous standard. A righteous standard is the same for me. It's the same for you. It's the same for the young. It's the same for the old. It's the same in America. It is the same in any country around the world, and that is this. We have a Savior who shed his blood to forgive us of all of our sins, that he would come and dwell in our lives, empower us by the Holy Spirit, instruct us in the Word of God, empower us by the Word of God to live the life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. It is the same standard for everybody. Rich or poor, male or female, it doesn't matter. The same standard. We are all called to recognize our need and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul could say, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel is that they may be saved. Now, these people, it says, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. So, I remember having a conversation. I worked in a mall, and there was a lady that worked in the business next to my shop. And every once in a while, whenever things were slow, we'd be standing out there and talking. And she found out I was a minister, and she described the church that she went to. And I knew the church. And I remember her making this statement. She said, ever once in a while when I'm in church and the pastor is preaching, I just want to stand up and say, that's not right, because it didn't fit with her, and it wasn't me. It wasn't anybody that I know that personally or anything like that. Don't know what statement it was. Just she did not believe that Jesus was the only way to the Father. And so she couldn't submit to God's righteousness. And there's a lot of churches that are around, and they're popular places to go. And, I heard of a church one time that the city newspaper, is a large town, said that one of the coolest places to go in that town on a Sunday night for a young person was to go to this church. So there were a lot of people going to the church there because it was cool, it was fun, it was all that sort of stuff. But it was, you needed to hear about Jesus. You need to hear about Jesus. And so I want to tell you today, if you've been trying to establish your own righteousness, if you've been fighting against things that God has said in his word, I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus' provision. Say no to the temptation of trying to establish your own standard or redefine God's standards. Say, God, I'm going to place myself under mission. The word submission means living under mission. So we say no to a lot of carnal activities, not because we don't have the ability, but it is not beneficial to us to do those things. We are living under a righteous mission. We're living under the righteousness established in Christ by Christ, and that's a much better way to live. So let's seek for his righteousness in our life, and I tell you what, you're going to find that it is a much higher quality of life. God bless you. You have a marvelous Thursday. We'll catch you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Message of the cross, that we can be free to live in the victory and turn from our sin. My precious Lord Jesus, with sinners you died, for there you revealed your love and you laid down your. This is the message of the cross, that we can be free to lay all our burdens here at the foot of the tree. The cross was the shame of the world, but the glory of God. Oh, for Jesus you conquered sin, and you gave us new life. Yeah, you set me free when